Thank the elders and everyone for letting me come back after the last lesson and preach another one. As we go forth this morning, or this evening, I want us to look at all men are created in God's image. We see that in Genesis. But all men are not created equal. Every one of us is a little different in a way, whether it's our upbringing, our background, how we were taught the scriptures, how we study for ourselves. These things are all brought forth in our lives as we live them. There are some things that I do that you don't. There's some things you do that I don't. That doesn't make us wrong. But tonight's lesson, what I want to talk about, turn my little pointer on. There are six things that all men have in common. And this illustration I have in the back will come into play about point four. So we'll discuss that then. Out of those 6 points, the first one is all men have a soul. Some try to teach us that man has no soul, and denying that, and they deny that man has a soul. The Bible affirms there is a soul of man. Genesis 2:7. The Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. Genesis 2:7 shows us that we have the breath of life within us. Job 32:8. But it is the spirit of man, the breath of the Almighty, that make him understood. So we are understood by God. He created us. Ecclesiastes 12:7 says, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. This teaches us in Ecclesiastes that our spirit will return to God. Our bodies will return to the earth whence it came. Zechariah 12:1. Thus declares the Lord, who stretched out the heavens and found the earth and formed the spirit of man within him. So we know these things. We are given them from God. Matthew 10:28. And do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. As we go through this lesson, that will be one of our guiding points, to fear him who can destroy both body and soul. James 2:26. As for the body, apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith, apart from works, is dead. This teaches us that we have certain things to do while here on earth. God grants us a spirit that will return to him, but in order to return to him and live, we have certain things that we must accomplish. Let's look at some of those. All men have a free will, as in point two. If we listen to the Calvinist concept of predestination, God chooses the individual to be saved or the individual to be lost. If this were true, it would rob man of his free will. The Bible teaches us that we are creatures possessing the power and privilege of that choice. Meaning we get to determine heaven or hell. Genesis 2, 16 and 17 tells us, the Lord God commanded the man saying, You may surely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of knowledge and good, of good and evil, you shall not eat. For that day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, I don't know how long Adam and Eve were in the garden before things went south. I mean, I don't know whether it was, you know, one of our lifespans or a couple of hours. I don't know. But that was a free will choice by Adam and Eve. If the Calvinists were truth, had the truth, that wouldn't have mattered to man. In Joshua 24, 15, and if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the religion beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. A free will choice. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That should be each of our attitudes in this room from the time we get up to the time we get up again. It should be our free will choice to serve the Lord. Amen. Hebrews 11:25. Choose rather to be mistreated with the people of God than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. We can go out and live in mankind and be sinful, and then come to church Sunday and repent and move on. But that's not what God would have us to do. He wants us to serve Him in all things. Revelation 22, 17. The Spirit of the bride says, come. And let the one who hears it come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. We're granted this water without having to cost us anything but obeying God's word. Next, we want to look at all men have sin in their life. Romans 3:23 states, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That, my friends, is you and I in this room. We all sin and we all fall short. Amen. Galatians 3:22, but the scriptures imprisoned everything under sin, so that the promise of faith of Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. We are all made sinners by birth, or we are not all made sinners by birth. I'm reading this without my glasses, so bear with me. But become sinners by transgression. 1 John 3, 4 states, everyone who makes practice of sinning also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Deuteronomy 24, 16 states, fathers shall not be put to death because of their children, nor shall children be put to death because of their fathers. Each one shall be put to death for his own sin. I'm here to tell you this evening that that is a fact. When we die and face judgment, God will not hesitate to punish us with death, living in hell. It won't even be a question for Him. Now, this chart I have behind me here A lot of times, this is what man sees as sin. This sin is greater than that sin, which is greater than that sin, which is greater than this sin. But this is how God looks at sin from above, or from wherever he's looking at it. They all look the same to him. A sin is a sin. I think we fall short and justify that my sin's not as bad as somebody else's sin. We are wrong in that assumption. Ezekiel 18:20 says, "None of the transgressions that he has committed shall be remembered against him, for the righteousness that he has done shall live. He shall live." So if we're faithful and we repent of our sins, God will remember them no more. They will be gone. We are influenced the same way Eve was in Genesis, and that was through lust. When she went forth to look at the fruit, when Satan talked to her, it was appealing. It was appetizing. It was shiny. It was whatever name you want to put to that. It appealed to her. She lusted after it and thus partook. That's how we get into sin. It's shiny to us. It's appealing to us. It attacks us. Satan attacks us with it in our weakest of moments. But in 2 Peter 1:4, it states, "By which he has granted us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is of the world because of the sinful desires." So we all have sinful desires at times. But if we remember that we have become partakers in the divine nature, which is God, we can overcome those faults, those sins. James 1:13 and 15. "Let no one say he is tempted," or when he is tempted, "that I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured or enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." That's what we have to look forward if we continue in a sinful nature. Death. 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. These are the things Satan sets before us in a time of weakness. And we have the same thing in common. Satan is our enemy day in and day out. He that thinks he can be baptized and rest is sadly mistaken. He needs to be faithful unto the end. All men have accountability. Some seem to think that they are not answerable or accountable to anyone. We've all met that person. Usually they're worldly and they're not accountable. They don't do anything wrong. They don't have any problems. God, though, makes us accountable. Psalms 144:3. "O Lord, what is man that you regard him, or the Son of Man that you think of him?" We are all regarded by God as his children. On the day of judgment, we will be held accountable. Amen. Romans 14:12 teaches us, so that each of us will give an account of himself to God. Now, I'm not going to be able to say, you know, Mike or anybody that, hey, they were good down there. I witnessed it. They were good. It's going to have to be between you, each of you, and God. I can only be accountable for Richard. And sometimes that even scares me that I fall short. I have time, though, as each of us in this room do. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. That will be our judgment, good or evil. Each one has a place we will spend eternity associated with it. 1 Peter 4:5. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. That is God. He will judge us whether we die when he comes or die before he comes and go. We will be judged. The next point, all men have the same amount of time. And I mean that on a daily basis. We all have the same amount of hours. There's 24 hours in a day. The elders here don't get 25 because they have to work a little harder. They get 24. When we break that down, that's 1,440 minutes. And just for fun, I broke it down. It's 86,400 seconds a day. Everybody has the same amount. I know some of us have been at work, and it seems like it's the longest day of our lives, or if we're doing fun, it's the shortest day of our lives. To be honest with you, it's the same amount. And even that is too short to accomplish what we want to accomplish each day. James 4:14 says, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. We are here but a brief moment in this area we call Sumner. We get that little time. I don't know whether I'll make it through the evening or wake up tomorrow and start my day again. I don't know. I will tell you the truth. None of you knows. We could be in a car accident tomorrow, or we could live another 60 years. It's our job to make the best of those times, those minutes that we have. We sow the seeds to the kingdom. We teach. We edify. We love. These are the things God wants us to do. We must redeem the time that we have and awake to our responsibilities before God. Those responsibilities are some of the things I just mentioned. We have to do the best we can each day. Even when we're tired, even when we're weak, we have to set that example. Romans 13:11 says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. We look at our governments today, whether it's state, federal, city. We got to remember as Christians that these people were put there because God had a plan. I don't know what that is. And sometimes I, like others in this room, probably scratch my head more often than not and wonder, and it just leaves more questions. But they're appointed because God has a plan. That plan isn't for us to know. And as we look back and get ready for our concluding statements, we find that man has a soul. Man has a free will to choose. All men have sin. All men are accountable to God. All men have the same amount of time each day. And all men, well, I did forget a point. Let's go back. I forgot point six. All men have an appointment with death. Turn with me to Hebrews 9:27. My computer dropped a slide. That's why I'm... Okay, Richard. Can you do this? I don't know why they make thin pages. Inasmuch as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. We are all given that opportunity. We have God's word in front of us. We have the appointment that we will die one day. We will face judgment. Thus, we must make arrangements for death by obeying the gospel and being faithful and steadfast, so that when the occasion comes, we will be ready for it. That ready for it, as we talk, we hear God's word. Matthew 17:5 teaches us to hear God's word. We believe in God's word, James 8:24, or John 8:24. We repent of our sins, Acts 17:30. We confess that Christ is, that Jesus is the Christ, Matthew 10:32. And then, like the Ethiopian eunuch, we're baptized, as in Mark 16:16. We have the opportunity this night and every day to exercise our free will. While you have time and opportunity, do we choose to obey the gospel that we may rid our soul of sin? That when death comes, and it will come, then we will stand to give account to God before, and if we do that, these things, we hear, we believe, we repent, confess, and are baptized, then we will hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Matthew 25:21. But there is one last thing that we need to do to achieve this goal. Revelations 2:10, we need to be faithful unto death. And that doesn't mean I'm faithful the last minute before I die. I'm faithful each and every day until I die. I will be. And that's probably the hardest thing we have in our lives to do, is to be faithful each and every hour because we are weak. So if you need the prayers of the congregation or the help of any here, please come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.